Hi everyone and welcome back to Fire and Film. Today I'm bringing you a review of a new documentary film called My Name is Alfred Hitchcock, directed by Mark Cousins. Now, if you are unaware, 2022 marked the 100-year anniversary of Alfred Hitchcock's first feature film. So almost a century on, Hitchcock remains one of the most influential filmmakers in the history of cinema, but how does his body of work and legacy last in and hold up to today's society? So Mark Cousins, the award-winning filmmaker behind the story film and Odyssey, The Origin, The Eyes of Orson Welles, and Story Film A New Generation, tackles this question and looks at the author with a new and radical approach through the use of his own voice. As Hitchcock re-watches his films, we are taken on an odyssey through his vast career, his vivid silent films, the legendary films of the 50s and the 60s, and his later works in playful and revealing ways. So that's a bit of a blurb that sort of came from the officials and all that kind of stuff. Now, sort of pull the curtain back a little bit in that the initial email that I got about this film was a review and interview opportunity. Now, obviously, I bit straight away because it's Mark Cousins. The guy's a legend in film theory, in academia, in documentary filmmaking and all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, the minute, and I say at the minute because I'm still holding out hope that I'm almost 2 weeks away out of this actually being released in UK cinemas, as I record this, that something might happen. A review might get scheduled in. I know he's busy, okay, because he's been tweeting about how many reviews he's doing for this film and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not holding out too much hope. So obviously I watched it. Now, what I did beforehand is I did a little bit of research into where it's been screening at festivals. So it's recently been in a Scottish film festival. I can't quite remember the name of it. I do apologise. It might be something as simple as Edinburgh Film Festival. But it was at that point where it became known and apparent to me that Alistair McGowan also had something to do with this project. Now, Alistair McGowan, for those of you who aren't aware, is an impressionist who is very good at some of the voices and some of the characters that he does. And basically, Mark Cousins, upon putting this film together, decided that instead of going down the usual route of him doing the voiceover and narrating all the way through the documentary, he would get somebody to impersonate Hitchcock and to do the narration and the voiceover. And Simon Callow, the actor, put Cousins onto McGowan, and the rest, as they say, is history. So all the way through this film, you are hearing what sounds like Alfred Hitchcock talking about Alfred Hitchcock's films. You're actually hearing Alistair McGowan doing his Hitchcock impression all the way through the film. I'll be honest with you right now, it works in places. In some places, it doesn't. And there are some strange interjections, which I will get to as we work through the film. So, there is a... At the beginning of the film, obviously, you get the sort of the credits and all that kind of stuff. It says that the film was written and voiced by Alfred Hitchcock. Now, obviously, we know the voice isn't a thing. We know that it's Alistair McGowan instead. The written thing... I'd love to pose this question to Mark Cousins. And if the review goes out after the time that I maybe have interviewed him, maybe you already know the answer to this, but right now I don't. Was any of it actually written by Hitchcock? Did any of it actually come from things that Hitchcock had said in interviews, in, you know, anything where maybe he'd done some writing on a film or anything like that? Is anything that is in this script from him himself, or is it a little bit tongue-in-cheek in that this is actually all Mark Cousins's analysis or Mark Cousins's belief and research put into a script that has then been read by Alistair McGowan? I don't know. Maybe it's just a bit playful and I'm just reading too much into it and I'm trying to not just get the joke, but that was sort of an initial question of like, were any of these words that were said during this film actually Hitchcock's words? I don't know. I can't tell you. So right at the beginning, there's a bit of a prologue of this is me, in case you didn't know, as in this is me. I'm Alfred Hitchcock. I've directed all of these films. And what we're going to do is instead of you watching a film that I've put out there on your own, having your own interpretation of it, or watching a film after a lecturer in a university has told you what to think about it, or has suggested what to think about it, or has read you something that somebody else thinks about it, I'm going to tell you what I think about it. And that's the sort of premise of it. It's Hitchcock supposedly taking you through his back catalogue and through the things that he's done throughout his career. Now, it's split into chapters. It's split into six chapters. So the first chapter is called Escape. And we get a really random lingering shot of a woman, which it's almost like she sort of just stood there and you find yourself looking at her. So then obviously you're making eye contact with her through the screen. But then you get a little bit uncomfortable because you think, am I sort of staring at this person for too long and I don't really know them? But then that's trying to evoke Hitchcock. It's trying to make you feel uncomfortable. So things like that in the film that Cousins has put in, really effective. Hitchcock Escape from England. What is our escape? What are we thinking about? This is why this chapter is called Escape. Some really idyllic postcards of different settings to create that sense of a holiday, you know, getting you different places, mixing Hitchcock's work and legacy. So we're talking here of every now and again, Hitchcock reflecting supposedly on something that he's done, something that he's already out there, something that he's made and why he's done it and all that kind of stuff. And then on the other hand, you're then seeing elements of his legacy in that you see various parts of, I believe it to be in London, where there are murals of his films, there's murals related to him, there's birds on the side of a shop, all this kind of stuff, and it's mixing the two together. When we get to points in the narration where Hitchcock wants to address the audience, and specifically the reaction of the audience to certain things that they've seen in one of his films, we get a still image of Hitchcock. So throughout the documentary, you're seeing footage, moving footage of his films, footage that appears to have been shot quite recently by Cousins, or is stock footage of different places, just to sort of emphasize that a little bit further. But if there's ever a direct question, almost a fourth wall break, if you will, there is a still image of Hitchcock to go alongside it. And those can get a little bit jarring every now and again. But then there are also these moments where Hitchcock stumbles on his words, or McGowan stumbles on his words, and still remaining in Hitchcock's voice, he goes, oh, am I still saying that? Are we okay? Am I still working? Or have I banged the microphone? Have I done this? And that, again, breaks the fourth wall, breaks the world of the film, in that you then hear Mark Cousins talking to Alistair McGowan as Hitchcock and saying, it's okay, Mr. Hitchcock, you can carry on and you can do these things. It's okay, Mr. Hitchcock, you can still talk about what it is that you're doing. And again, they can be quite jarring, in that I wouldn't have minded if that didn't happen at all. Like, there was no point up until the first one was I thinking, oh, I wish I could hear Mark Cousins asking Alfred Hitchcock to pick the microphone up or something. So again, strange inclusion there. Chapter-wise, after Escape, we get Desire. And again, it's very clear at this point that all we're doing with all these chapter titles is that we are linking to Hitchcock's stylistic and thematic choices in his films. Hitchcock's films are about an escape for a character, people trying to get away, Marion in Psycho, for example. They're about a desire, somebody wants to do something. They're about loneliness, which is one of the chapter titles, a lot of Rear Window coming into it. They're about time and the moving on of time and the ticking over of time and the fact that people feel like they're running out of time. They're about fulfillment, who gets fulfillment in anything that they do. And they're about height. Now, height, I thought, was a bit of a weird one at the end, but it's the idea of you are ending on a high. You are giving somebody a high. You know, height, when I think of height in Hitchcock, I think of that shot from Vertigo. So again, there's a lot of similarities in there. It's well put together, and you can tell that it's been thought through. And I don't think anyone would expect anything less of Mark Cousins and the stuff that he's done, you know, especially with Story of Film. I remember being in university when that was being shown on Film 4 and everyone talking about it. And, you know, you expect this person, this filmmaker, Mark Cousins himself, to do his research and to get things right and to meticulously plan these things together. All in all, to kind of give you a bit of a summary of it, because the weird one with this one is that the last two reviews that I've done, and, you know, eagle-eyed people will be aware that I'm just recorded them in a bunch. So I'd already seen Ant-Man and the Wasp in the cinema, reviewing it again. I'd seen John Wick. I'd not seen John Wick. I saw John Wick for the first time. But then people had already seen it. This is a pre-release review, so I'm not necessarily wanting to quote-unquote spoil things here or talk you through bit by bit everything that happens in the documentary. But I think, so some documentaries are thrilling. Some documentaries, so Senna, The Cove, thrilling documentaries. Some documentaries manage to intrigue an audience who aren't familiar with the subject matter that they're talking about. For me, The Crash Reel. I'm not interested in snowboarding, but I love The Crash Reel, right? Some documentaries are for the niche. They're meant to inform, but really, the only people that are getting anything out of them are the fans. Foo Fighters Back and Forth, right? For me, I named it my number one documentary when I did the podcast with Holly and Joel. Neither of them had seen it because they're not Foo Fighters fans. I don't imagine many people who aren't Foo Fighters fans are going to watch it. But for me, I loved it because I'm a fan and I can sit back and watch it, right? And I can listen to those guys talk all day. This is one of those. This is a niche one in that if you're a Hitchcock fan, you're going to love it, okay? So I don't think the narration quite works. Not just the voice, but the believability of what is being said. Am I supposed to believe that Hitchcock said these things? He might have done. I don't know. I'm not going to take the time to Google some of the stuff that he said. It's essentially, to me, a feature-length director's commentary in an age where we're used to hearing auteurs talk about those films, but this is a filmmaker who couldn't do that or didn't have the platform to do that while he was making his films. So if you imagine Hitchcock making films now, I imagine that he would be all over the shop doing interviews, press junkets, all that kind of stuff, the promotion around when a film comes out, telling you what he thinks about it. And obviously we got that in his later life. We got that when talk shows began to become a thing towards the end of his life. But early on, he didn't get that. So even going back as far as things as like Rebecca, okay, and even lesser known ones that come up in the documentary, he didn't have any of that. And this is why I'm really intrigued. And maybe I need to do a bit more research to find out whether or not he did actually say any of those things, or if all this is just sort of Cousins' creation. It's, to me, it's an academic essay. And I doubt anyone other than, obviously, a Hitchcock fan, an academic, a cinephile, a researcher, okay, critics probably, are going to get anything out of this. This isn't for the mainstream, right? This isn't one of those things that you could put on Netflix and it come up in the top 10, okay? It's not going to come up because Jeff from down the street, who is a tradesman and doesn't really have much of an interest in film, is going to go, oh, I fancy watching that My Name is Alfred Hitchcock thing, okay? It's niche to the point of it's going to do massive numbers and it's going to fulfill the people who are Hitchcock fans, who are cinephiles, who are academics, like I say. But other than that, it's not really going to get any traction with anybody else, I'd say. And I suppose that's the intention, because I suppose you've got to sort of keep that in mind. In the, if you're making a film about something so niche like Alfred Hitchcock looking back at his own films, you've got to be aware that there are only certain types of people that are going to see it. This ain't going to be on a mainstream cinema screen. This isn't going to be sharing screens with Oppenheimer and Barbie, but you will probably find it in smaller cinemas. I'd imagine Home in Manchester might be showing it, okay? And that if you're interested, if you like Hitchcock's work, if you just want to immerse yourself in that world of, I suppose, cinephilia, if that's the right word, then go and have a look at it, okay? Go and see it. It's not bad by any means, okay? It's incredibly well put together. The footage that they've done, the way, and again, that would have been another question that I would have asked for Mark, is that obviously you have a script, but then building the script, you must then be thinking of what clips you're going to use, because obviously they're all extremely well timed. Now, was the narration always the plan? Were you pitched the idea, or was it you that picked Hitchcock? If you had to pick somebody to do it again, who would you pick to do it again? All these questions that There may already be a video on this channel that I've asked him those questions, and if not, I've not. But again, I think for this one, so my name is Alfred Hitchcock. I can imagine it having a good run on Sky Documentaries, and it having life on something like a MUBI or a BFI player. Okay, it's a documentary like that, and if you're seeking it out, you'll enjoy it. Okay, but I can't imagine that anyone's going to stumble on it and really love it. So I think again, it's a completist one. I can imagine actually for all those people who next summer are going to write dissertations on the film of Hitchcock, this is going to be in your bibliography or your filmography, because why wouldn't it be? So it's an achievement on that front, because I would imagine that that's exactly why Matt Cousins decided to make it. So that is My Name is Alfred Hitchcock. It is in UK cinemas from the 21st of July. It has competition from Barbie and Oppenheimer, but again, you know, I reckon it's going to find its home somewhere else. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Come and follow me on the socials. So Twitter, Threads, if anything's happened on there yet. Instagram, all that kind of good stuff. Go over to our sponsor offer, Tees, and use the code FARAND, that's FARRAND, for 15% off your order. Stay safe, look after each other, and I will see you next time.